Lord, we do thank you for this beautiful day. Lord, we thank you for the impression that we have of you, of your softness and your tenderness from the gentle rain. Lord, we thank you that your Spirit rains your love upon us, God, and that we are thirsty for you this morning. Lord, we thank you that as your Spirit anoints the gifts that you've given us, and even our weaknesses, Lord, we just grow more and more in love with you. And I just want to thank you for this book that you have led us through. And Lord, may this time together just be a curious finish for this, Lord, one that you have on your heart for us. So be Lord of this time. And we thank you particularly for bringing Debbie this morning and Alfonso. And we just celebrate you, Lord, today. We just thank you for your great mercy and your kingdom. Lord, as you move it forward on the path that you have directed her. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. Lead us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so I did come up with a final exam. In case we run out of reflections.
That can't happen, running out of reflections.
Yeah. So we don't have to mess with this at all, but it is something that was useful to it brought me to some things, this book, that Ephesians, that I'd never really had in view with the clarity. So that's my shtick. But anyway, who wants to share?
I just want to say that's the same thing that happened to me. I've never had the church's role as clear as I have now. And I don't really know how to put that all in words, except that it's all in here. And it's worked into my spirit in a new and profound way. So I just feel very blessed from the book and from your teaching, from R.P. Martin and Alan Redpath and all the other people you were
imitating.
And your questions and all of that, because it brought out facets that I had never really had clear. And I didn't know I didn't have them clear. So I feel very blessed.
Yeah, praise God for that. Yeah. Was there anything just like super paramount?
To tell you the truth.
Specifically? Or?
My plan was...
Hello.
Good morning. Whoa.
Here they are.
Hooray.
Morning.
This is the Beitrich family. This is Debbie from Spain.
Hi, Debbie. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
My plan was to go through the whole thing before today. I was very excited about that. I only got really to session 3. That's as far as I got.
Yeah. So. Well, God will guide you and add to your... We're just sharing. Hey, Alfonso.
Good morning.
Hello.
Look at him. He looks great.
Sorry to interrupt you.
You look wonderful.
You look great. You look better than ever. Look at that.
I'm John.
Nice to meet you. Cool. Hello.
Hello. How are you? I'm Vinny. And my wife, Loretta.
Ooh, you ready, huh? For a day.
Hey, have a seat.
Right here.
They like to...
Well, is it indifferent?
No.
There's no second-class citizens in this room.
If we sat around the table, there goes the chance for anybody else. So that's
actually, we're the
family.
We're the jury.
Whole family.
We're the jury.
Okay.
I'll behave.
That's a good-looking jury, I have to say. Full of light.
So, Alfonso, we've studied the book of Ephesians beginning in September. And we've actually completed it. John Usward led us the last session. And we're now just going through reflections on what God showed us in the book. Specific things, general things, just a chance to respond to all that we covered. I mean, we covered a lot of stuff. And it was kind of like drinking from a fire hose, but still, there are certain things that God has manifested, hopefully, as you study. Tansy just shared about how she understood the church in a new way, the role of the church.
You had it written down here in session one. You said, God has sovereignly chosen the church to be the means by which his manifold wisdom is made manifest to the world. Whatever the essence of God really is revealed to the world by the church, founded upon Jesus Christ, living in Jesus Christ, and directed by the Holy Spirit, poured out upon Scripture to reveal Jesus Christ. I mean, you could just spend...
That's a pretty big concept.
A month just thinking about that.
Yeah.
I want to thank you, Jeff, for all of the work that you did and Bill. A real blessing. And I started to go through my notes, and I started to dog ear, you know, some special sessions, and all of a sudden I realized I was going to have a whole bunch of dog. I was going to have 27 or 28 dog ear pages. But so if I could just share the ones that really, in session 3, Ephesians 1, 11 through 14, and the foundational truth as to the purpose of our existence is that the fact that we are living in Christ, that's the purpose of our existence, and grace and truth intersect at the cross. Really, grace and truth intersecting at the cross. And when we were talking about contrition, you do a wonderful thing of going back into the source, the root source of words, and you were contrition, the root source, in the Latin being contrary, to grind. That sense of that grinding process when we are truly sorry, when we truly are contrite for our sin, it's a grinding inside of us that's only eased and actually stopped by surrendering, confessing, repenting, receiving forgiveness for it. But that was just a powerful word, a reminder of the, you know, confession is critical, but contrition, you know, are we truly, I mean, it's kind of, sometimes I can throw off a confession and say, I'm sorry, Lord, and then just go on without letting him really do the healing work and repentance work within me. Just a couple more. I don't want to monopolize the whole time. Session 7, Ephesians 2, 7 through 10, and this has been always one of my, the whole concept that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. You know, we can't do them until he's made us ready to do them, and that's all his work. That sense that he is always working on us all the time. We are on the wheel. We are being changed and transformed by him, by the external circumstances he brings into his life, by the revelations he gives us through the Holy Spirit and the study of the Scripture. It's a living process that just never stops. And the point of all of it is not just that we're saved and we're put in a museum. The point of all of it is that he's got things for the kingdom that he wants to accomplish, and that he's designed us, created us. When you said we're never created apart from our function, I mean, that was the key thing for us. We're not created just to be. We're created to be citizens in the kingdom to fulfill his purposes and do those good works, you know, that he's already got planned. You know, we're part of his plan. It's just, you said we have no identity crisis in Jesus. I love that too. You know, there is no identity crisis in Jesus. And session 13, Ephesians 3, 18 through 21, talking about the mystery, the redemptive plan of God, that all creation is going to be part of his redemptive. We are, talking about agape love. The fullest expression of God's redemptive plan is the love of Jesus Christ. No bounds, no limits. Worship is a lifestyle, not something we do on Sunday mornings. But the fact that we are all made in the spiritual image of God is just the agape love of Christ. The glory is God, grace is Jesus, and the power is the Holy Spirit. And the last one I like to, I have a couple more, but I think the last, I don't, as I said, don't want to monopolize, but the, just one thing from session 24. Maybe somewhere in here, and I might not have marked it, but you were talking about blessed, how blessed we are, and that the root word of blessed is blood.
I'm thinking of the blood. I remember it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got that.
So, and that's the first time I had come to understand that at that root of blessing is the anointing of the blood, the sacrifice of Jesus. That's the source of it all, and that's the power of it. Yes, session 24, Ephesians 5, when you were talking about what it means to be a man and a father and the spiritual leader of the family and the four questions we are to ask, ourselves as men and as spiritual leaders in our family, that was really powerful for me.
Can you go through those four? Because
yes.
I don't think
there's
four questions that
we're asked. Ask ourselves, are you subjected to Christ? In other words, are we submitting ourselves to Christ's will in our lives? Do we have the renewed mind? Are we living out agape love? This is from Ephesians 5, 21 through 33, and that's verse 25 and 27. Second question is, are you responsible? Are you living in a responsible way? Are you responding to God's call on your life? Are you paying attention to the work of the Holy Spirit? Number three, are you functioning in the home as Christ functions in the church as prophet, priest, and king? A wonderful explanation of that. And number four is, what does laying down your life for your wife look like? I'm really thinking about that. What does it mean that we're going to, as Christ laid down his life for the church, are we laying down our lives for our wives? Are we submitting in his will and in his love for her? Recognizing that God has a plan for her and that he's calling us to be part of his plan for her life. Are we encouraging? Are we supporting? Are we doing all that as men and as spiritual leaders for our wives, for our children? So all that Christ who looks upon the church as part of his own body cares for her, And you led into all that, Jeff, but how would you summarize the function of man in the marriage relationship? So just a wealth and depth of new understandings for me, and I am really grateful for you.
That's good.
For that. And if I could share one last one.
Sure.
I've got two, but I'll only the armor of God has always been for me, and I want to thank you, Bill, for kicking that off as well, just really going into depth on that, but... the fact that God has provided everything we need to stand in enemy territory, because we are in enemy territory. The prince of this world is Satan and will be until Christ returns. So we are in the battle. There's no neutral, there's no Switzerland in spiritual warfare. There's no place we can run and hide as much as we want to. We get tired, but we're called to stand, and God's given us everything we need to stand. And he's given us the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's the one offensive weapon we're given. We hold out the word, literally. And that word, not only at times is he uses as a surgeon's scalpel to cut us and heal us and convict us, but that's what we offer to other people. It's the truth. It is the truth. And the truth hurts, but it's what God will use to bring people to salvation when they finally see the truth of who Jesus is, of who they are, of how they need Jesus for salvation and eternal life and redemption, all of those things. So it's all grace. But, again, the fact that God's provided everything we need and those pieces of armor. And the fact that you point out, Jeff, there's no armor for the back. So we don't retreat, you know, because there's no protection for our backs. Really like that. So thank you again.
Excellent. Thank you for taking the time.
I
mean, there's some things in there. There's some things in there that aren't on the exam. So you did really good.
I missed this session when you talked about the back.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you discussed this, but you know, when I was saying we didn't have time to talk about it, but you know, retreat is one issue. You don't retreat. But the other thing is that we're a body, and you're talking about the similarity of the legion of Roman soldiers, how they had each other's back.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't have each other's back.
So they had each other's back.
So it's, it's a body thing. It's not an individual thing.
Oh, my gosh. Now that's a nice.
Which goes back to the church.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
The importance of the church.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, I didn't prepare anything, but last night I kind of just... You know how you browse through a chapter? Because we spent so much time with a microscope on it.
You miss, you know, sometimes you
what's
miss.
The overall, what's your overall picture assessment?
Yeah.
And for me, it was, you know, one, what is our position in Christ?
Yeah.
Amen.
The body of Christ and how we function individually and corporately. And then the battle that John just alluded to. And... I think I share with you guys, you know, in the middle of a battle, one battle after another, and like you said, we're thrown into it. It's not like when you make a decision for Christ, you don't get a choice whether you're in the battle or not. You're in the battle.
You're in there.
Yeah, and so this was very good for me to really, really dig deep into it, not just say, well, I'm just going, I have the sort of spirit, I'm going to throw out a scripture and then I'm going to go about my day. No, kind of forced me to really assess, you know, where I am. And I like to read, you know, you said there were certain passages that jumped out. Well, this one did to me. And it's Ephesians 1, verses 18 through 23. It says, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. So he wants us to understand, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. I mean, if that's not complete, you know, then what is? But we forget that if Christ is far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and we are seated with him in heavenly places, then we know what our position is in Christ. Amen. And we can go in confidence that we have that victory. It says in Colossians that he leads us in triumph, right? Mm-hmm. Triumph isn't the battle. Triumph is coming in the victory, you know? It's the battle's already won. So those are the kind of things that you know, really came to light more so, more vividly. And something that you can apply, not something that's just doctrine. It's something you can apply, something that's part of your life. And then you see God work, you know. You see him go before you, you know. So,
yeah, there's nothing like having the world clarified for what it really, really is.
Right, and that's what happened a lot in this study.
Yeah.
Is because you do get beaten down by the world and you're not even aware of it.
Yeah.
But your stance becomes not firm anymore in the world. And you really have to recognize what the world is saying and recognize where it's seeped in anywhere, you know, in your spirit, deep inside of you.
Yeah.
And then you have to really recognize, first of all, you have to recognize who you are in Christ, but you have to really know Christ, who he is. You have to understand the power of the blood. There's so much power in that pure blood.
That's so important.
And you have to understand... you know, the cross, and you have to be in Christ, and then you get built up and very confident, you know.
In the right way.
In when I'm weak, then I'm strong.
Yeah.
It's like you understand, okay, it isn't. It isn't look at me.
Yeah.
What a good boy I am. Or
we saw what that looked like before you came to Christ.
Yeah, and it's...
And we don't want to go back there.
No, it's really... It's a failure. Yeah. It's a real failure. And it's deadening.
It's always stunned me from this passage, Bill, that, you know, the power that is in us through the Holy Spirit is the same power that raised Christ from the dead. The same power, you know. And that's how we have new life right now, you know, and we're living eternal life right now, but it's that same power that God used to raise Christ from the dead. Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. Can't do no more.
Anything from the righteous
thing? Well, I did. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, it said, "Be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as, as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." So I was thinking about that as Jesus Christ dying on the cross for you. And I was thinking about that last night, how he didn't have to lay his life down. It was his decision to die for you. So I was just thinking about that.
Wow. Wow. That's beautiful. That's a nice thing to think about before you go to bed. But you didn't have any bad dreams last night.
There were so many verses while we were going through Ephesians that struck me, but I was reading this one and I just decided I would talk about this one. But it says, it's in chapter 4, verse 14. It says that we henceforth, being no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And that kind of just hit home for me, because there's so many things that, you know, I hear as a young person, just so many different ideas and doctrines, as it says here. And it just made me think, wow, I'm really going to, when I hear those things, it made me think, am I checking it with God's word? You know, because sometimes it just sounds good and you take it for that just because it sounds good. But sometimes I know I don't check those things that I'm hearing against God's word and say, okay, wait, does that actually check?
Yeah.
So that was one thing that encouraged me to.
Good. And what does God give you?
He gives me wisdom. He gives
Starts
me
with a P.
I don't know.
Favorite word.
Perspicacity.
Oh.
You see through. You see through the mist and the confusion of this world. And you see spiritual truth. And you're given spiritual discernment. So that you can navigate the path that God has chosen for you. You know, everything that comes along your path, he's allowed it. And he has a role for everything. Good things, bad things. Everything in between. But with what you're saying here, you know, you have the capacity to see through deceptions, all kinds of things your friends might be doing or saying, and you see the truth. And that's wonderful. Oh my gosh, if I had been your guy's age and had the wisdom that you have, I'd be a different man.
Yeah.
And there's a ton of garbage that went on in my life before I came to Christ. And to hear you reading the scriptures last night, Joshua, makes me really happy. So, that's true.
God, you want to say?
Well, what struck me, obviously you could speak to every verse in Ephesians, but just to dovetail with what Catherine said, in verse chapter 1, 17 and 18, which I know has already been made mention of, but this was just powerful to me, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I mean, what? That's just like me? Like, you're going to give me that? That just sounds like, you know, such a a treasure that I'm going to have access to, the privilege of, the use of, the, you know, it seems so like out of my league, you know, but he's saying that to everybody that is going to follow him. And the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So we have a way to understand. And so, yeah, as things come to us, if we turn to God, trust how he's building up in us, keep pressing towards that to know for sure, is that God's mind on it? Is that understanding from God? And as we see, even when we read the scriptures, if we're not being enlightened as we go through it, I don't mean that we read something and we get it like that, but if there's a dullness, that means there's something wrong with us in our relationship with Christ, so we can go back, because he does give us this, and he wants us to have this, and that's our key for that growth and knowledge of him. And that it shouldn't come from other people, even though we can be informed by the body, and all that helps us to be confirmed, but just that makes me think that I have to be so much more deliberate and careful about my relationship with Christ, because the result is, if I'm not, things can just crash in a room, spiral down very quickly. So, and I want to use this. You know, I want this. I want wisdom. I want to understand God. I want to know how he thinks. And I want the inheritance. Glory of his inheritance.
Keep going.
Precious sister.
So. Thank you.
Your turn.
Do you Zachary want to come?
Sure. So I was thinking about Ephesians 5, verse 8, and it says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." And I specifically like the last part. It says, "Walk as children of the light." So he's commanding you to walk as children of the light, and we don't just ask the Lord to save us from sin and then just go out the way back into sin.
Amen.
We need to walk as children of the light and shine a light into other people.
Amen.
So that they may see what it is to be someone who has the glory of Christ in them.
Amen. Amen. Nicely put. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that whole section, that light section, that, oh my gosh. In Ephesians 5.
Yeah.
But yeah, that light, remember, light illuminates truth. And light and truth, together, they bring wisdom. Mm. So that, yeah, and that light, when you're in Christ, that light pours out of you. You can't even help it. It just pours out of you. And whoever God is stirring, they'll see that. They'll see Christ in you, and they'll say, oh my gosh, I'm dying. I need what you got. And that is huge. So, beautiful.
Mm-hmm. All right. You guys can go after me. I can't hold it.
<He's gonna happen>.
I did like Bill did, which was, I was sharpening my chainsaw yesterday, so I had my phone on, and I listened to Ephesians. And then last night I read through it, and put down some thoughts, and I think one of the very first things that struck me was that the contrast between chapter 2 and chapter 1. Chapter 2, it's you're quickened from the dead. You know, this is where you were. This is where you came from. But in the very first chapter, it talks about us being predestined to the adoption of sons. You know, for the purpose of being holy and blameless in his sight, and then being sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, the very beginning chapter just says, listen, you know, it was not you, you know. It was God doing these things. He sealed you. Have confidence.
Yeah.
Loretta brought up the point about, you know, why is he doing this? He's bringing this about so that he could reveal wisdom and knowledge to you for his glory, for his honor. And then jumps right into chapter 2, and
were quickened from the dead. Now, this is where you came from. Okay, remember now. You were quickened. You were dead in your sins. Christ made you alive. From times past when we walked according to the course of this world, which is, again, came up again and again and again about the way. And so, again, as Zachary said, the believer's life, what a contrast it is. It can't be a cheap grace. It can't be a cheap gospel. And this whole book of Ephesians is about you're bought, you know, with the precious blood. You're part of this wonderful body. You don't walk in darkness anymore. You've been sealed. You've been predestined. You were once dead. You had nothing. It's all by grace in chapter 2. You know, had nothing to do with you. So this removes the person, gives them the understanding that they were dead. It gives them the understanding of God's power. As I read through Ephesians last night, I was like, all we need is the book of Ephesians.
Isn't that amazing?
It really did that. And then, so it says, created in the newness for the glory of God, his workmanship unto good works. You know, as believers, I know as a young person, when I came to believe who God was, I was like, okay, what is the will of God? I remember even buying a book, Find the Will of God. I didn't know any better. But, you know, to walk in newness, to walk in light, to walk as children of light, God is already predestined. He's already sealed with his Holy Spirit. He's already going to show you moment by moment, day by day. He's going to reveal his wisdom and his knowledge so that you can do his work that he's already planned for you. All that you don't have to worry about. He's got a plan. But as a young person coming to know Christ, I was like, oh, what do I do with my life? This and that. It's walking in these truths. It's doing what Catherine said. It's discerning. False doctrine keeps you away from the bad parts, keeps you on the track, keeps you doing the things that God wants you to do. So that's getting all to chapter 3. And then chapter 3 goes on, walk worthy of your call. You know, and I think to me, and that's where it talks about the gifts that are given, all these different gifts in the body that are given. Well, he's given us those gifts, not for any other purpose, but for the sanctification of the believer, you know. So now it's the whole idea of these gifts are being given. They're to sanctify each other, to help each other. And if it's in this love of Christ, well, then we should be encouraged. We should all see it as we're all in the same place. We're all dead. We were all once dead, and we were all coming to the likeness of Christ. So it's one of those things that if we encourage each other with those things, then we're not taking it as a personal offense. And I think that the body needs more of this, but the flesh keeps us from that. Mm-hmm. The flesh doesn't want to hear what we're doing wrong. The flesh doesn't want to hear from our spouses what we're doing wrong. It doesn't want to hear from, certainly it isn't going to take it from John the stranger, who I only barely know, and he's going to tell me something about my life. But that just said to me, we need to build relationships. Mm-hmm. You know, those relationships need to be there in order for those gifts to be working.
And what's the key to the building of the relationships?
Perspicacity. Yeah!
Illumination, revelation.
No.
I guess we need more practice on that word. Go ahead.
No, humility.
Humility.
Never forget.
Yeah.
Humility builds relationships. Yeah. Arrogance crushes them.
Right.
So that when humility is there and when we're in Christ, man, humility is blazingly glorious. The relationships blossom like a garden. So, yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
Right after with the verse that Catherine shared, which is, I had that in my notes too, which is also not being tossed to and fro, you know, that there's a stability in a Christian's life that when somebody hits it, they know they have something to hold on to. They know that this is something they haven't run into before. It's not something that gets tossed to and fro. It's something that's stable. It is, you know, it's an anchor. It's this thing that's when somebody grabs onto it, that's why God says be prepared to always give an answer. Why? Because when you have stability and truth in the dark world, people are like, how'd you get that? How do you know that? Why do you have such confidence? But it's that, we have a quick reply, and that quick reply is, hey, listen, you know, I was once dead, but I'm alive in Christ. Christ is wisdom. Christ is truth. Christ is joy. Christ is stability. Christ is all these things that you need that I am just learning now. You know, I mean, that humble part, you know?
Yeah.
So the old man is gone. And then, and this is, for me, I saw again and again warnings. Don't be in that old man. This is what the old man looks like. The lust of the flesh, the evil desires, the works of the world. And it's almost like saying, if you're manifesting those things, you're walking in the flesh. And so there's that constant reminder. You're not of the flesh, you're children of the light. You're not tossed to and fro. Walk in the light. Be children of the light. Know that you have this Holy Spirit that gives you discernment. And then don't grieve the Holy Spirit. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we do those things which are of the world, which are, you know, it's like almost climbing back into the casket. You know, who wants to, you've been made alive from being dead. Who would climb back in a casket and say, please cover it up so that I can do these things of darkness so that nobody can see what I'm doing? And yet that's exactly what the scripture says here. You know, that you've been found to do these things, what you used to do, you don't do those anymore. Who wants to be dead? You know, and then lastly, I have down here followers of God. What it doesn't look like to follow God in chapter 5, it says what does it look like, which I mentioned, and when we don't follow God, what it looks like, and I have verse 6 here, deceived with vain words. So I'm just going to see what that says, because I didn't write any words about it. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. And I thought that was curious, because that comes right after 3, 4, and 5, which talk about the sinfulness of the flesh. And yet the warning, let no man deceive you with vain words. I can only imagine what vain words that someone would allow into someone's life, but it's there for a reason. God writes these things for a reason. So, and I guess what I maybe not making myself clear is that, are there people who justify lifestyles in Christ, quote unquote, in Christ, which are of the world, but it's really vain? It's really vanity. It's really, don't listen to that. If these are the things that are manifested in your life, don't listen to anybody who tells you that it's okay to walk in those things and still be in Christ. Yeah. And let no man deceive you with vain words. And I just think, boy, let no man deceive you with vain words. Why would that be there? Other than the fact to say, listen, if you're participating in these things, these are the dead things. These are the things that put Christ on the cross. Don't be deceived. That's not of the Spirit. It's not of the things of God. And it's just, I guess I saw warnings. Good, but warnings. If-then statements constantly throughout Ephesians.
Yeah. Good, yeah. Big time.
So then Zachary said, walking as children of the light. And then it goes on, I'm closing here. Warnings that the days are evil to redeem the time, which it goes right after at the end of chapter 5. Do the Lord's will. Do the Lord's will. And then what John said, you know, it starts where? It starts with husbands. It starts with husbands and wives. And then chapter 6 says, okay, now you children. It addresses everybody. And all those same people are still a part of the body. So my closing comment is this. Remember, which is what in chapter 6, I kind of summed up the chapter on the armor. I summed it up as this. Remember to stay on your toes. Be vigilant. Your enemy is unseen. And use the weapons that God has given to us for the job that he's called us for. Standing strong in the Lord, always praying. So those are my thoughts.
You know, the enemy is unseen, but he's not unfelt.
No, yeah.
And your spirit, the Holy Spirit in you, feels when he starts to enter in. Mm-hmm. But just to add, this was one of Jeff's sayings here. We need to let go of our obsession of having to understand our trashy, preconceived ideas. And it's true. It's like, that's a prayer. Lord, are there any vain, trashy, preconceived, prejudices, ideas that are wrong? Show me. And he shows you.
Yes.
He shows you quickly those ideas. Yeah. They just come falling out while you're at the register at the grocery store. You know, an attitude. Light shines on it.
Isn't that... Yeah. I mean, you can look at your day and say, this is going to be the worst day of my life. But if you throw away the preconceived idea,
right,
you're just saying, Lord, here I am. Right. Take me through this day. Let me see where you're leading me. I know what my own vision looks like. It looks horrible. Mm-hmm. And in the flesh, you can say, wow, this is the best day in the world. And all of a sudden, it's empty. It's vain. Mm-hmm. There's no life. There's no... sap to that day, because you've sort of just, you know, you're just filled with your pleasures apart from Christ. So the preconceived ideas, that's a biggie.
But also, you know, it's deep calling to deep, which we all, that's what we have to do, is the deep inside of us calling to the deep of God to make us deeper. But I've written down here, God is going to redeem every breath he gave out.
Whew.
I don't think I said it. I think one of you said it.
Wasn't me.
And I just wrote it down. And I thought, wow. You know, so.
In one of these, in John 12, 35, and you said that the man, like when we have sin in us, the day is, our day is, we don't know what we're doing. Well, in John 12:35, it says, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For ye that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither that he goeth. So when we walk in sin that day, we have no idea where we're going. The people who don't know of Christ, they have no meaning to life, so they don't know. They have no purpose to do anything that day. But we have a purpose every single day to serve our Lord.
So amen. Thank you. Beautiful.
I was thinking about the first chapter of Ephesians in the beginning. Verse 3 to 4 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And I just thought it was really neat that all of us, all of our life, and all that we can say that we have is only given to us through Christ, and that we have all these spiritual blessings that he has given to us, and that he made a plan before time that we should be holy and blameless before him. And I just thought that was really something that was really neat to me, because even when we messed up, he made a second plan so we could still be holy and blameless before him. So I just thought that was really neat, that he made a plan and then we messed up, and he still wanted to have that plan in place. And he brought that through for us. So that was
And your mess ups, what happens with them when you put them in Christ's hands?
Well, we don't have to worry about them anymore. They're forgiven. So.
They are forgiven, and what else?
Washed away.
Yeah?
Using for good.
Yes.
There you go.
You will learn more from your mess ups than you learn from your successes. I got to tell you, that is a story of my life. Yeah. It's when you're teachable. Failure is so important. Okay? Failure, when you put it in Christ's hands, it's a whole different ballgame. Mm-hmm. The world looks at failure and says, you're a loser, you stink, you're worthless. When you put your failures in Christ's hands, guess what? You have compassion for others who fail. And suddenly, there's humility, and it's beautiful. And you can stand with somebody when they fail.
My brother told me one time, and I never forgot it, he said, when that topic comes up about our failures, is in a jar with a light. If it's broken, the light comes out through the brokenness. Light comes out through the brokenness.
Yeah, if it was
broken. And that's ultimately... You know, that's what the Lord desires, is a broken and a contrite heart I will not despise, says the Lord. You know, that he desires for that brokenness to be there. And it's those times of failure that we are broken, more often than not.
Yeah. And you will seek, so you have compassion, number one. Number two, you will seek God in a way that you won't seek him when everything is just hunky-dory and life is beautiful. You'll seek him with more intensity in your failure than you will in your success. I mean, I'm making general, that maybe you can, you know, I mean, we give praise to God when we're successful. Praise God. But, man, it's the sword of failure that really brings us to that place where we know we got, I'm dying. I need you so bad right now. Lift me up out of this. So, you know, this is it. And the last thing is, in failure, we learn to depend on God. the flesh is just annihilated. The flesh made its statement. We flunked. I had this big, you know, thing I was going to do in the business or with my kids, and I had the wrong attitude about it. And it just, so suddenly you just repent. So don't ever let failure take you off the track that God has set you on. Do not. Because that is the teachable moment par excellence. And you will gain more from that almost than you get from your successes. I mean, what does that verse mean? All things work together for good. I mean, we just throw that out there. You got to look at that verse. That is a huge verse. It embraces our weaknesses, our failures. It brings humility, dependence, compassion, I mean, kindness, gentleness. All of the fruits of the Spirit just come welling up out of our failures. So we can always celebrate Christ in every part of our life, every part. There is nothing that he cannot use to sanctify us. It's just amazing how he does that.
If he redeems every breath, every breath. Yeah. Because Paul had to question sometimes, yeah. Lord, why did you allow me to murder Christians? You know, like any of us can look back and say, Lord, why did it take me so long to come to you?
Yeah.
You know, like you said, I'd be a different man. No, you wouldn't be. God had you do what you did, and me do what I did, and all those things. Yeah. So, because he has there's a plan. He has certain people he wants us to reach.
Yeah.
And so he redeems all of that, and there's a purpose for it all.
Yeah.
So nothing's lost. I mean, that's who he is. Nothing is lost in him.
Yeah.
It's like stepping out of it. We get stuck in seeing it at our level from the, you know, down here. But if we can pull back and look at it from God's angle, yeah, that spiritual place, and really it's part of his plan of redemption, I see in it. Because we are now, we used to be able to be perfect. Now, I mean, you know, now we can sin. Before we weren't sinning. Now, after the fall, we sin. So in sin, he knows we're going to sin. He's got this perfect way to make sin work for us and keep us humble. And we fight that because it takes a lot of humility to be able to say, I failed, and to, you know, we hold on to that, you know, in denial. But when you do step there, he builds that up because he, you know, helps. Like, you forget about whether you're being humble or not. You just start getting that, the floodgates unleashed of what all those things that you're saying it allows in your life. And then from that, it fuels you to think more from his spot, you know, that just, okay, I've got more to learn, God, and then you become more effective because you're not offensive to people. Because really our humility is offensive, you know, and people might not be able to put their finger on it, but they know it keeps you from people. So.
In my 2 years ago, when I got to go, I got a job at Le Bon's in Woodbury, and I thought, you know, this would be, you know, interesting and weird, and I'm gonna interact with all these new people. And so one of the things, I guess, thinking about being an example to those people that I was there interacting with, I was always thinking about what am I doing wrong? You know, I don't want to do something wrong, you know, would it be swearing or, you know, not working hard or doing something like that, that would, you know, be a bad example and just not to the light. But in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of you. And I think that's, like, where I was at. I was just like, okay, I need to focus on this, you know, just...
Why? Me too.
Not, you know, but I never got that second part. It says, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that may minister grace unto the hearers. So, for me, it's a lot more has become focus of trying to learn how to not just only focus on what do I not do, but what do I do? How can I, you know, be... attentive to know when to say something and not just to be like, because it was frustrating to me when people wouldn't recognize that I didn't swear, you know, and I would just like, and like, wait, you don't swear? And this is like, you know, after working there for 6 or 8 months, And they're like, wait, you don't swear? I'm like, yeah, you didn't realize that? I'm like, come on, you know? But then, you know, it's the rest of this verse, you know, allowing your speech to not only not contain the bad stuff, but to contain the good stuff.
Yeah.
And that's really for me.
Yeah. Because you're free.
Right.
You have a freedom that they don't have. You know, we always think of, you know, legalistic Christianity. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't do that. I mean, what is this? Where is the life there? You know, life is like a container. You bring Jesus in the front door. All of that other stuff exits the back. You are so filled with the freedom that Christ gives you. It doesn't even cross your mind to swear or to cheat or to be a lazy person. You know, it's beautiful, the freedom that you have. Don't ever look at Christianity as anything but absolute freedom. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. We live in the indeed. There's a fullness to that freedom. The world has no clue. And guess what? Someone is going to see that you really have the joy of the Lord in you when things ain't going so well. And they're going to say, oh my gosh, there is something here. So that is excellent. That is so important. Be free in Christ. Don't worry about, I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't. Jesus says, just go in my spirit and do. And I will manifest myself to this world that I've been sent to save. So, excellent. I'm glad that I'm a profanity struggler too. So, I'd be listening to you if I was 15 and struggling. I don't know. God, you know, allows stuff in. And then, you know, we get to be free of it in Christ. It's beautiful when we sense that. Great. Any reflections from the Terranays on Ephesians? I'm sure you're...
Yeah, this is, why am I preaching today? You guys should preach. The message is here, man. The message is here. You know, it's true, you know. It's, you know, I think, I mean, when you think a whole church can go through Ephesians, this would be very different. I'm saying, I'm not judging anything, you know, I'm just saying. Because we individuals, we take this. But if the revelation comes to the whole body, when this is us, for all of us, and live in this dynamic, this dimension, and as a body, and learn to nurture that together.
Boy.
I mean, it's powerful, isn't it?
It's very powerful.
I mean, that's
it.
What he was writing to the whole church, right? Now, so, I've been thinking, you know, wow, you guys, it's a privilege to, you know, to have the time to search the Word and dig in that, you know, and to embrace this wholeness of identity of Christ.
Good.
This wholeness, you know, my identity, and then our identity in Christ.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
These two things that are always going together in the Scriptures, you know, is God doing me, but in us together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this parallelism is so strong here in Ephesians for me, you know. Even a little verse, just one verse, I think verse 3, chapter 3, 13. Of course, Paul is saying to everybody about that. But then he comes to a place of vulnerability. You guys, don't worry about my struggle. I mean, I struggle too. I have my tribulations, you know. And there, but I'm so part of that as well, you know.
Yes.
Because this is my glory. This is where God's working in me, you know. I'm not runaway, you know. I'm not quitter, you know. I'm not quitting, you know. Because I've embraced that identity. It's just beautiful. So I was, I mean, listening to you and, you know, my eyes went to that verse. You know, I was thinking, you know, because we know people, because of our mission work and all that, you know, those that are in suffering in the extreme today, you know, the persecuted Christians, those that are being killed and have their children killed in front of them, and things like this, that it shakes everything of you. And yet, there is no swear. There's no denial on the lips. but a trust.
Trust, isn't it?
In the sovereign God, in the goodness of God.
Yeah.
Mm. To see the goodness of God when they're torturing those dear to you, or you're losing everything and running for your lives. I mean, it's deep, you know. And I say, oh Lord, I'm not there. I want to be there. Mm. And that's what I see the whole identity of Paul saying these tribulations, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm not running for my life. I'm running with Christ.
Amen.
I'm not running off my life, right? I'm not running away from. Mm-hmm. I'm running to Christ. Anyway, so just
good. Yes. Thank you.
But don't you think you're not there yet because you're not there yet?
I'm not there yet, of course. But
you're not supposed to be there yet.
God gives grace.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yes. When you're there.
When you're there. That
he's there.
So, but that faith in that grace inspired me.
Yes. Yes.
To say,
Which is why Paul says aim for perfection.
Yeah. Right.
The thing that was in Ephesians last night as I read it was that we attain fullness of Christ. Yeah. You know, that's what the gifts were to purify the saints so that each would attain fullness in Christ. Yeah. Which is your desire, which is the Spirit led, which is God is saying, I want you to know the fullness of my Son.
Yeah.
And if we each have that desire, we don't need to say, hey brother, you know, you need to get rid of this sin. No, it'll already be there. It'll already be within us to rid ourselves of that and to aspire towards that love where we can say, even if you slay my wife and children. And we think in our minds, how could that possibly be? And yet, God ultimately, in His sovereignty, knows what it would take for each person to be in that fullness that was given in Christ. And that's again, goes back to chapter 2. His grace just given to us. Yeah. It's just,
I've seen that some, you know, the situation of Iraq and Afghanistan and all that. Now those guys, then one of those killings, they are so astonished that this praise or this word Jesus come in the mouth of them, you know, and that even some have decided to strike their mouth as they kill them because
they're saying Jesus.
They're saying Jesus. I mean, but that's
condemning them.
It's condemning them, of course. Yeah. But you know, it's really powerful. I mean, I'm just seeing Paul again here in this identity, in this fullness of Christ in Israel, you know.
Yeah.
God's grace is operating in a little struggle and a big struggle. And God is so God is God.
Yeah.
Thank you. So we need to close. Tansy?
Is this a take home again?
Yeah, this is for anybody who wants to take the time, get a cup of coffee and
I think you should close.
No. Jeff asked you for a reason.
So what, you'll be the next book?
We don't know.
Yes, we do.
Oh, yes.
We're doing Sermon on the Mount, and I do have the study guides here. We're starting next Sunday, so if you would like to take your study guide, because it's a thing where you answer questions first, and we come and discuss our answers. If you can't answer, that's fine. Come, we're going to discuss it. But I do have the books available. So,
is this the 3-page final exam?
A ton of it is what you guys. Is this something that you can?
You think we'll pass?
You'll all pass. It's an open book exam. No, but you know what? Go through it and then come up with your own. Okay?
Don't take one. I'll give that to him. Because what I'll do is I'll Xerox
something. Yeah, and you guys have at it. Please. You guys, you're here. Just take it. If we need more, we can just take every one of you take it. I am so blessed. So blessed by you guys all being here. It's just amazing. Oh, my gosh.
We don't know for next fall, though. They're still being...
We don't know. Michael chooses the book.
Okay.
And God has used him mightily in choosing. We did Hebrews last year and Ephesians this year. Man. So, right, Tansy.
Father, I don't even know how to put into words... what came forth today. But Lord, your Spirit is so alive among us. Lord, we're humbled by your presence and we're so grateful to be called your children. And Lord, we're going to walk out of here stronger than we were an hour ago. Oh, Lord, more confident. Lord, we're going to trust you completely. So when that hour comes of testing, Lord, we're just going to rest in you. Amen. Our confidence is going to be in you. So Lord, bless us now as we go. We especially pray for Alfonso as he comes and brings what you've put on his heart for this body, that we take it to heart to know that it was for us. Lord, we thank you for our worship team.
Mm.
And we thank you for our pastor. Mm. We thank you for our elders. Yes. We thank you for our teachers. We thank you for our servants. We thank you for each and every person. And we just bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Hey, thank you. Oh, I'm so excited. I'm not going to be here much this summer, but the
$6
Is that $6?
It's
$6.
Whatever you have, okay. Anyone else?
Okay. I'm just saying, how do we non-profit?
Do you, from do you
what's that?
Why you just take
one? You know, skirt the battle, don't take a vacation.
I was going to say.
So this is like,
we need a vacation from work, we need a vacation from breathing.
Somebody said that.
That's what it was. I know that.